1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now, news from... First, we'll be reading some email, but I want to mention that I'm completely blowing it. I didn't mean to say we'll be in Tucson this weekend. We'll be in Tucson June 11th, which isn't this Saturday. It's the following Saturday. It's a week from this Saturday in Tucson, Arizona. Sponsored by Jolt Radio, our affiliate in Tucson. You can still get tickets to come see us. All you have to do is, if I were you, I would call the station. I get a lot of people asking, how do I get tickets to come see you, Phil? I've gone to the website. It doesn't indicate anything. Well, sometimes good old phone is the way to answer those problems. So it's Tucson, Arizona, and that'll be on June the 11th, the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, a few of you may recall that probably a year or two ago, I said, if I ever get the opportunity to be a talking head on one of those news shows, you ever see those shows? It might be the Bill O'Reilly Show or something, and they'll have three guys in a, you know, little talking heads in squares, and they'll be like radio personalities. You know, Biff Wiedemeyer from K-Blow, and some other guy, and some other guy. And I said that if I ever get the chance, that I will come on as just kind of a wink and a nod to my listeners. I will be wearing an eye patch and smoking a pipe. And it almost happened today. CNN had called a couple times. They wanted me on last week, and I didn't get the message. They called today, so Michelle said to me, CNN would like you to go over to their studio in Hollywood, and they want to ask you what the listener feedback on Deep Throat is. And I said, aha, now's my chance. So I ran around this morning. I found a pipe. I even got some cherry blend tobacco, and I found an eye patch. And so I was going to sit there just, you know, with the pipe, just very thoughtful with an eye patch. You know, these guys, you know how those shows are. Everybody's trying to get the last word and top each other. And I would very thoughtfully be sitting there just puffing on the pipe and then tapping it gently on an ashtray or something. My feeling is this. But then they called and they said they booked a third guest and they didn't need me. And then I told Michelle, you call those people at CNN back and you tell them if they ever pull something like that on me again, that I'll go over there and I'll kill them and generations to follow. No, I didn't say exactly that, but it was something very threatening. However, they did say, well, we want to have you on again, Phil, but, you know, this time we had about people, it's all booked up. And again, I don't think people really get what this show is about, because they'll always say, oh, we need a talk show host. Hey, Phil, do you want to be on the show? Have you ever heard my show? Do you know what you're in for here? So, in any event, like last week, they called me up and wanted to know what my take was on the whole Dick Wolf thing. Is that what I'm... Oh, Tom DeLay thing? Yeah, that's right. We talk about that a lot. So I figure if they don't know really what the show's about, I'm going to come on. It was two things. I was either going to have the pipe and an eye patch or wear a ski cap, which I'm wearing today. Mark and Harry can see, and you, Bud, too.
Yeah, it says Silver Strand Beach.
Good. You can read. Good. And I was going to come on and just act like I was slow, you know, like, Phil, what are your listeners saying about Deep Throat? Well, they're saying a lot. But, I don't know, I was kind of going between both, but the whole thing just went to hell in a handcart, so forget it. All right, now it's time to read some email. Hey, Phil, I enjoyed your thing on Comb Over Boy last night. That was great. I was thinking of really messing with Boy's head. Could you possibly give me some suggestions? His show is so boring, it needs something cool to change it. Rock on, Lawrence in Valseo, Florida. P.S. to Bud Dickman, it's Valrico. In Valrico, Florida. P.S. to Bud Dickman, it's Valrico, not Lawrence, Florida. You savvy?
I understand.
He just basically saying you're an idiot. What you should do is call Combs' show and say, yeah, I want to do that whole Comb Over Boy 101 thing that you do, man. And say that it's about getting your girlfriend out of the house because you've met somebody hotter. All right, so then he'll be sure to take that call because it's right up his alley, or so he thinks. And then when he gets on and he starts talking about it, say to him the following. Say, you know, your show in theory could be really interesting except for the host. And then he'll say to you this. He'll say, oh, yeah, that's very funny. Why do you listen to it then? Which he always says. Why do you listen if you don't like it? And then you say to him, because Phil Hendry said you needed the callers. And then just, you know, don't hang up, but see what he says. There. Phil Hendry said to call you because you need the callers. Oh, that's really funny. All right, here's a letter. I don't know whether this is from Wade Boggs or not. A guy sent me this email that he allegedly got from Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs, the former Boston Red Sox, who is in the Hall of Fame. Now, a few months ago, we did a bit about Wade Boggs, Ryan Sandberg, and Steve Garvey, and I think Thurman Munson getting inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And it was Dan Kilgallen, who was a sports reporter out of Dallas, Texas. Now, Wade Boggs writes to this other guy, this listener of ours, he says, "Ho," because the guy's name is Matt Hornaday. "Sorry about the back. I played twice yesterday, too. I feel like I'm 3 days into rehab." I think they're talking about playing tennis. "I will anticipate hearing the reviews on Hendry as sports writer Dan Kilgallen on Baseball Hall of Fame inductees. I'm sure you and Crow will listen to the entire thing over breakfast some morning. Have bladder release container available. My dumb dead eyes staring back at you, Wade Boggs." Now, the premise of the bit was this. Dave Kilgallen was on. He said, "Well, we don't want to have Wade Boggs in the Hall of Fame because kids are going to go in and look at that bust and see those dumb, stupid eyes staring back at them. And Thurman Munson doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because, excuse me, he's a team leader and he doesn't know how to drop the wheels on a jet. So what is that? How does that play into it? And then Steve Garvey didn't belong because his wife had worked with Regis Philbin, something really strange. And then Ryan Sandberg didn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he was on television so much during the 80s on WGN. People are going to go, oh, him again? When they look at his bust. So thank you very much, Matt, for that. Whether that's Wade Boggs or not, sounds pretty cool. "Hi, Phil. I'm in the U.S. Army studying Arabic at the Defense Language Institute in Monterey. I emailed you several months ago telling you the story of one of my speaking exams where the instructor and I discussed your show in general and Bobby Dooley nailing her underwear to the trees at Western Estates specifically, and we discussed the entire thing in Arabic. Is one of my best speaking exams ever, and I got an A. Now my class is graduating. We'll all shortly be going off to Arabic-related army things. However, I wondered if, as a thank you to my instructor, who has been a wonderful motivator this past year and has trained up a good group of Arabic military linguists, you could either dedicate a clip or have Bud Dickman say something inappropriate to Doug on behalf of the class of 604. You got anything, Bud?
He's an Arab?
I don't know if he's an Arab, but the cat speaks, he teaches Arabic.
What do you mean inappropriate?
I don't know, man. I don't know, okay?
I don't want to talk to an Arab.
He doesn't want to talk to an Arab. Is that inappropriate enough for you there, Amy? Oh, by the way, she says, "If you read this on the air, could you please call me Amal, the Arabic name I use in class instead of my real name?" Okay, Amal.
Jesus.
"First, Phil, this is from Jason, what does that say, Bud?
Negro.
Doesn't say it says Jason Negretti.
It says Negro to me.
"Phil, first of all, I laughed my ass off when I heard Bud trying to talk like Yoda from Star Wars. Keep up the good work. I know that your audience reaches all kinds of people."
Miko, get coffee now.
That ain't Yoda, man. That's just a retard.
Coffee I want yet.
There you go. "I know your audience reaches all kinds of different people. Is there any politicians, priests, or grandmothers that have actually come out and said that they listen to you? Off the record, I'm a Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus. I'm a Grand Knight of the Ku Klux Klan. We are an international Catholic men's organization. I have heard of you, Jason. In fact, my dad was in the Knights of Columbus. Yeah, we've got priests that listen to the show. I got one friend of ours, Father Greg, used to be the media relations director for the Diocese of L.A. and first found out about our show because there were complaints from people in the Catholics in the diocese. So he listened to it and became a fan and actually said mass at our house and visited us, and we consider him a friend. He's been transferred from this big media job at the L.A. Diocese. He's now in a small parish in Santa Rosa, so I don't know.
Did he touch a kid?
No, he didn't. How dare you even say that?
The only reason why I put a guy there.
No, he did not do that. "Dear Phil, I realize I'm a repeat emailer, but I got a question for you. While watching a TV show of the 100 Scariest People or the 100 Scariest Movies on Bravo, I saw a clip of Silence of the Lambs. Is Herb Sewell based on Hannibal Lecter?" No, Herb Sewell's totally different from Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter had no friends. Herb has Walter Belhaven. And Hannibal Lecter is unrepentant. He is a man who will always be criminal. Herb is out and trying to fit into society. And Herb also empathizes with the shock that we all feel about the crimes he committed, whereas Hannibal Lecter is a completely narcissistic, self-consumed, sick creep. other than that, they're both really nice guys. Here's one from a guy who says, hey, Phil, KLOL, the rock station in Houston, that's what it used to be, a rock station that you're on right now, has gone Latin. I don't understand. Is it going to be like Latin and the Phil Hendry Show? We're not on KLOL, sir. We're on KIOL. Oh, my God. Dion in Ohio writes, years ago you had Bob Green promote Soul Coke in ethnic-friendly can colors, such as mocha and gun steel blue. My wife and I still quote portions of that show in normal conversation. I must say that you topped yourself with Monday's Star Wars bit. We'll never look at Rosa Parks, or I mean Yoda, the same way again, Dion. Soul Coke is one you got to dig out, man. Bob Green was marketing this product called Soul Coke, which would be specifically in the black neighborhoods. The cans would be mocha-colored, gunsteel blue. And a guy from Coca-Cola called and said, we'll never take that meeting. Bob's like, well, it's a really great product. I really want to get in to see you guys. We'll never take a meeting like that. I bet you within the next 5 years we'll see some version. What, you guys got Night Train and Sneaky Pete wine. Why not Soul Coke? All right, and one more here. Ha ha, check this out, Phil. Wow, first O'Reilly's ratings are plummeting, and now Dennis Miller gets canceled. Maybe there's something to letting the market decide after all. The liberal-turned-conservative comedian's program is to be replaced by something called Mad Money with Jim Cramer. Hey, in the end, at least something sort of funny came out of that show. Reruns of Mad Money, WTF, maybe Dennis should have had more chimps on his show. Ha ha ha. First canned on HBO, then Monday Night Football, and now CNBC. Maybe his comedy isn't as relevant and funny as you think. Ha ha ha, Frank. Okay. God. Glad you like the show, sir. And we have more. We'll get back to some email, and is Rudy on the line?
Yeah, he's waiting on the line. He wants to talk to you.
All right, Rudy Canosa coming up next. We also have Vernon Dozier later on in the show on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I want to read this a couple of more. We got Rudy Canosa on the line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he wants to take... Okay. Mr. Canosa, how are you, sir?
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying your program, but I was concerned about you, and I called up. I wanted to speak with you.
Concerned about me?
Yes, a little bit, because I've noticed that you're laughing a lot in the middle of your material on your program. You're laughing a lot.
Well, I'm laughing. I'm not getting a lot of sleep. I guess I'm slap happy.
Well, I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about that. And I know that your personal life is your personal life. I don't want to be rude. But I think that as long as you and I have known each other, we have always been very forthcoming with each other. And I think that it's important for you to understand that... there are many things. This has to do with a woman, right?
Well, I mean, well, yeah, it's just personal, you know.
Well, but remember that there is no woman, no woman alive that cannot respond when you say to her, I love you. I love you more than life itself. And then you throw in, blah, 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 blah.
And man, I can't do that, dude.
Phil, I tell you, it's never failed for me.
I don't have the technique, the whole blah, blah, blah. I can't do that. I'm just, you know, I'm a little tired. I've been losing some sleep. You're right. It's personal.
Well, listen to me. Listen to me, please. When I was married to my first wife, who is Zampora, and I had beaten her pretty severely one night. I had beaten her pretty good, and I threw her out of a window. And I was very sorry for this, but I came downstairs... and she was picking herself up out of a hedge. And I said to her, la, 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 la. And,
all was forgiven.
Yes.
Why do I not believe you, man? I mean...
Well, you'd never believe me because you think I'm a liar. Don't you? Don't you?
No, I don't want to say that, man. I mean, you beat a woman up and throw her out of a window, and she's pulling herself out of a hedge, and you walk up to her and go, la, la, la?
No, I didn't go, la, la, la. I went... La 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 la. You know?
Well, whatever the technique is.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it.
So you think I'm a liar? No, you go ahead and say it. You think I'm a filthy liar. You said it. I'm a filthy, crawling liar. You see, when you call Rudy a liar, you do much more than just call me a liar. You disgrace my own culture. You say my culture is a lie. And you say to people, Jesus, what was that? That's the wrong sound effect.
Yeah, again, here we go again with the wrong sound. Bud, what are you doing to me, man?
What are you blaming me for? Mr. Canoza.
There it is.
Yeah, that's the... Yeah, there you go, because we got some fat women coming through tonight.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Oh, but you... Well, wait a minute. I'm not done. Are they going to hang up on me?
Will you shut the foghorn off?
I've got some big women coming through. Look at that, one after the other. No, I'm telling you, Phil, if you say to a woman... Well, one time I had a girlfriend, and she made me angry, so I kicked her out of the car on a freeway, and I got off the off-ramp, and I got back on the off-ramp going the other way, and I drove back down the freeway, and she was crawling onto the median. And I rolled the window down, and I went, my darling, blue, 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 blue. She loved it. And
all right, you and the foghorn have got to go. The whole thing's driving me ape. All right, let's go to our flashback. I've got a couple of minutes for the flashback. This is a flashback, and it is by request from John. He says, hey, Phil, now that you got Lord Hall on your show, you have to play that old R.C. Collins bit where he wants to sound like Darth Vader through the use of a box that can alter his voice. After finding out you don't have the magic box, he wraps a piece of binder paper over the mic and says, Luke, Luke, I am your father. Hope you can find it, and it's not lost forever, John. Here it is, R.C. as Darth.
Bryson, about your favorite Star Wars movie, I'd have to go with you on this one.
I like to sound like James Earl Jones. Where can I get one of those boxes to... Do you know if they sell them?
Well, you're the Star Wars fan.
Well, I want to sound Luke Skywalker.
Well, what you probably do is you cup your hand here. I'll show you what you do.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
Luke.
See, I can't do it. I don't. James Earl Jones. I mean, the guy makes $85 million a minute for the commercials he does.
Yeah, I know. He's on CNN and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. But he does it kind of
Luke Skywalker.
You know that kind of thing.
Luke Skywalker.
No, you gotta really get...
What?
You gotta really get down. You gotta...
Luke Skywalker, I am your father. Luke, I am your father.
Luke, I am your father. Luke Skywalker.
You ain't making it, Daddy-O. You gotta have the big... You gotta have the cojones the size of Canada on you.
Well, wait a minute. What if I got a box or something?
Well, have you got something there?
Hold on for a minute. Luke Skywalker, I am your father.
Forget it, man. You can't do it, okay?
Well, it's better than a lot of people do it.
Luke Skywalker, I am your father. Try that.
Wait a minute. Luke Skywalker, I am your father. How is that?
No, man. You can't just put a piece of binder paper out of your notebook over it, okay? Hey, what's your name, sir?
Ryan.
Okay, Ryan, go ahead and do your Luke Skywalker for him.
Listen to this, man. Does this sound like James Earl Jones or what? Luke Skywalker, I am your father.
Maybe.
I don't think so, Jack.
No.
I don't even think so, okay?
Let me try the James Earl Jones again.
You suck, man.
Let me try it. Luke Skywalker, I am your father.
No.
What?
That's R.C. Calls. R.C. is with us, as a matter of fact, from Bradley. R.C., how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Mr. Henry. That was a long time ago.
But have you worked on it?
Well, I go to Bradley Military Academy now, and I'm very serious about, you know, my education.
But have you, come on, after down through the years, haven't you worked on it?
Well, I've come up with some things. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Luke Skywalker, I'm going to rip you a new butt.
Luke Skywalker, I'm going to rip you a new butt.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I don't know, man. It's a little harsh. It's a little angry.
Luke Skywalker, I want to take you into my bedroom.
All right.
Oh, yeah, now you hang up on me because I'm not saying stuff what you agree with.
I don't need it to come down to that, to some...
Look, what's hot in the news right now?
Michael Jackson.
Thank you. Thank you. So what's wrong? Luke Skywalker. Hold on for a minute. Hey, go get that industrial-sized jar of anal.
Okay. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, time for a little news and views here on the Phil Henry Show. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll have Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher, a high school varsity football coach, a man who's also battling child support payments that he's paying his ex-wife. He has his wife on a debit card. He contributes this child support money into some kind of an account where he can keep track of every dime she spends on child support. And she has petitioned the court to change this arrangement. And we'll talk with him coming up about that very interesting situation. Now, we'll look at some of the news that's been happening. One of the stories that's kind of interesting, Tom Cruise, apparently in Hollywood they think he's one step beyond. He's flipping his lid, and he's just way, way out there with Scientology. Apparently he was on the Oprah show. I say apparently to all of these things because I didn't see the Oprah show that he was on, but he was hopping about the set in a maniacal fashion, just acted kind of like a squirrel, which is not against the law, but it's got some people at his studio, people that are about to release this Mission Impossible 3. It's got some of them freaking out a little bit. Also, the movie War of the Worlds is coming up, and that will be released, I think, at the end of this month. It's coming out June 29th, so it's another month. Yeah, the end of this month. He's in that movie, too. It's a Steven Spielberg movie. And the cat's been out there, and he's really, really talking about Scientology to any and all. Scientology. Now, you've heard of this, right? You know what Scientology is? Neither do I. But I'll tell you this much. Scientology doesn't sound any squirrelier to me than Christianity, and here's why. Just hear me out. Okay, what do they believe? Some cat's going to come down from outer space and take everybody back. Excuse me? Doesn't Christianity believe that? Thank you. Okay, but yeah, a science fiction writer wrote all this stuff. Well, I mean, the apostles. Maybe it's true, maybe it ain't. I don't know. But what were the apostles but early science fiction writers? Just some dudes, you know, not that they thought it was crap what they were saying. They knew Jesus existed. For all I know, L. Ron Hubbard met one of the green men that's going to come back. He wrote that whole book, Battle in Space. What the hell was that book that he wrote, Battle Beyond the Stars? It's like the Bible of the Scientology religion. It's about cats. It's about an intergalactic war. Guys with four eyes and 16 heads operating spaceships and going after everybody. Now, you may think that that's really out there, but if you got a guy who'd never heard of Christianity and you told him about some of the stuff that's being laid on people, Harry and I were talking about this during the break. The only difference is we've had 2,000 years to get used to Christianity, see? I ain't excusing it, but then again, I'm not condemning it. What I am saying is this. Cruz, why don't you give people a break and not insist on having your Scientology tent on the set? And making potential investors in your film peruse or tour some Scientology church that you want every... What are you... You're just out there, man. You're like a pain in the rear end like a lot of these people. You're trying to shove your freaky-ass religion down everybody's throat along with something else. Now I... What?
You're going to get in trouble.
I didn't say anything. Many Hollywood stars, according to the story, are involved with the Church of Scientology. That's fine. They can be involved in anything they want. And if they have the juice, they can do that too. The studio doesn't care. The studio is just afraid that Cruise is acting so squirrely, it's going to take people's minds off of his movie, Mission Impossible 3, and the forthcoming other flick, this War of the Worlds. Some executives at Paramount and DreamWorks have voiced concern that fans are becoming distracted from the movie, which costs some $130 million to produce. And then he was on Oprah Winfrey, and I guess, and his sister is his spokesperson, and she said, well, he's just very happy and exuberant. Right? It could also be a big handful of dexedrine. We don't know. But if you look at it in the context of Christianity, what he is a Bible banger. Now, nobody likes that. I'm just letting you know, Mr. Cruise, if you're out there, which you're probably not, but anybody that knows him maybe can tell him, or anybody that knows someone who knows someone who knows someone can tell him, you're coming on like a Bible thumper, dude. Who wants some guy banging a Bible, walking around in the white shirt and the black pants on a bicycle, handing out watchtowers? It's a drag. Yeah, they're nice people, but the fact they want to take up your time and your life, no one has the time, nobody wants to talk, nobody, because they know it's not going to be a conversation. It's going to be a speech. Bible thumpers are not, it's not because they're into Christianity. That's not why. They like to tell you the reason why people put them down is because they're Christians. No, no, that's not it at all. It's because you're boring. God. Oh, God. You're dull, man, with your whole wearing your religion on your sleeve thing. You're just dull. You're walking around talking about how you're saved. You're walking around talking about how Jesus loves me. You're walking around and you don't live it. I don't see any evidence of it in your life, so you just come off as boring. If you were living it, if I saw evidence of it in your life, if I saw you actually, you know, living a life, it's, well, this is kind of interesting, man. I want to know more. I want to hear this guy, see what he's got to say. But there's nothing more dull than a hypocrite. And people who are banging a Bible think it's because they're Christian. I got no problem with anybody's religion. Anybody that's got a problem with religion is a sick and twisted, you know, I know, God killed your puppy when you were three, and so you hate God. Religion's fine. It's just when religion starts to become this badge, and it sort of becomes a police force unto itself. Like, are you a Christian? No, I'm not. Well, we got a problem. Yep. Well, no, I just don't believe it. No, I understand. So you hate God, is that it? No, I didn't. I hate God. Well, do you believe in God? Well, it's really none of your concern, is it? Well, I'm going to ask you the question. Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Christ and Savior and Jesus, and he's hanging on a cross and a whole thing? Do you or do you not? Well, I have. Can I just read to you something? You know, it just goes on and on and on until you want to reach over and go, I'm sorry for what I'm going to do. I really am, and I hope that you'll remember me when you go to heaven, but I'm going to squeeze the life out of you, starting with your throat. Your tongue will come lolling out of your head as you go, speaking of la la la. Well, Cruise, you're just the Scientology version of that, man. You're a dull Bible banger running around with your freaking religion. Why don't you take it and park it, man, where you park everything else on a Saturday night? Now, God, these people with their religion, you know, the thing with religion is so funny to me. Everybody's got a uniform. Everyone has their little uniform. Hi, I'm, in case you didn't know it, I'm Jewish. Oh, yeah, I got it with the curly Q's and the beanie. Yeah, okay. Oh, curly Q's and beanie. What, are you anti-Semitic? No, I mean, I understand. And then we have our Muslim friends with their funny-looking beanie and their big, long dashiki and their serious-ass kisser, like nothing's funny. Then we have our Catholic folks wearing their little cross around their neck with Jesus hanging off the thing, dripping blood. Just hanging there for all the world like, oh, God. That's always, the Catholics, that's a wonderful big, just the cat just, man, first memory I got as a kid walking in, there's that guy nailed up. So in other words, here it is. See what he did, huh? So you think you're going to have some laughs in this life? Well, I didn't mean to do anything. Well, you did that. You did that. Well, what can I do to, well, just decide, you know? The priest would like to see you later, and maybe you're going to have to do some things that seem unnatural. But either you do them, or that man up there hanging from that cross will come be in misery and pain for eternity. And you hate him, don't you? No, I don't. Then go in, see Father Jones, and here's a little KY, and don't ask me why, just go. Are you telling me that he's going to, you know, try to have sex with me? Maybe. Well, are you going to argue about that? God loves, you know, God loves you, even though you're a sick, perverted, twisted piece of crap, and that you put Jesus on the cross. So there's those people. Who else we got? The Hindus with your freaking dot in the middle of your head? Will you knock it off? Everybody walking around with their uniform. Now, where is this? What is this uniform? I'll tell you what it is. It means, hi, I'm legitimate. I got a religion. I'm now legitimate. I now, when I say something, I'm coming from not just me. I'm coming from millions of people who believe this far-out trippy stuff. And so it's got to be legit, man. All right, so you got the beanie and the curly cues. Right. That means I'm Jewish? And don't even screw with me. And you got your little freaking funny-looking hat and your dashiki and your Quran. What are you supposed to be? What am I supposed to be? I'm a Muslim. Don't, hey, my religion teaches that you can gut a man with a gaff hook. So don't even start with me. I don't know that love stuff with us, baby. Car bombs and gaff hooks. Gaff hooks and car bombs. Okay, and you with the dot. You a Hindu? Yeah. Got a problem with that? No, not at all, man. And so you let cows wander everywhere and you ride elephants. Yeah. And I'm not supposed to laugh. No, you're not. Otherwise, you're a freaking racist bastard. I can't laugh at the fact that you let cows wander everywhere and you ride around on elephants. No, you may not. I can't laugh at any of you guys. No. Otherwise, you hate us and you're anti-religious and you're a freaking bigot. So your freaking curly cues and beanies, you Jewish cats, you cats with the crosses around your neck, you freaking Muslims with your dumbass hat, and you clowns with a dot in the head, I can't, and riding around on an elephant, I can't say anything. No. Otherwise, I'm offended, and I'll call the FCC.
Wah, wah, wah.
Thank you. Martin, you gotta feel that heat. More with Religion on the Line and Dennis Prager in a moment. I'm Phil Hendry.
Today, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if Cruz was into Christianity, if he was like fully into a Jesus trip and he did this, there'd be people like squealing about it, man. They'd be squealing at a 10K tone. Just, they'd be squealing, man. Because what he did was, is he said to these executives, well, you got to take a tour of the Scientology Center. These are guys that are going to be distributors of his movie. They complained about it, but they did it. Apparently, according to Der Spiegel, which is a German magazine, you know, those krauts, you don't know whether one day to the next whether they're telling the truth, but it says here that Mr. Cruz got into a heated exchange with an interviewer who called Scientology a pseudoscience after the star said he had personally helped hundreds of people get off drugs. Tom Cruise had personally helped hundreds of people get off drugs. Now, either he's working on a drug counseling hotline, or these are all friends of his. What in the... Anyway, Mr. Cruise's insistence on making his religion a prominent part of his current work has raised some resistance in Hollywood. Some executives from United International Pictures, which is releasing War of the Worlds overseas, complained earlier about being asked to take a four-hour tour of Scientology facilities in Los Angeles in late January. So imagine if they were asked to take a four-hour tour of a Christian church and listen to some dude talking to them about Jesus. I bet you anything it would be a scandal on the left. Well, it wouldn't be a scandal so much as it would just be considered bigoted and probably anti-Semitic and everything. Then he insisted on having a Scientology tent. Now, basically what that was, a bunch of people handing out literature. Handing out brochures, books, you know, the weekend couples retreat, the Scientology weekend couples retreat, drug count, all of that stuff. That's right there on a set, too. That guy's just a Bible-thumping nut. And you want to know something else? Tom Cruise is good. He ain't that good. I mean, yeah, the cat can do a good movie now and again. And by the way, Spielberg, this War of the Worlds, it better be good, man. Now, I understand that you've set a very high standard. You've set my favorite movie, Saving Private Ryan. Next up, probably, you know, I don't know, Close Encounters, one of them. I mean, you make good flicks. But that AI and that Minority Report, ooh, man, someone get a window open.
It really stunk it out, didn't it?
It stunk the joint up. And what's with Jude Law? What, is he all of a sudden the Tin Man or something with that dancing he did in AI? Excuse me? All of a sudden, it's like Wizard of Oz. The little boy and Jude Law, who was a prostitute robot for women. And now he's running off with this other little robot boy to find some cat that isn't even remotely interesting as the wizard. Remember the guy that we're looking for? Is that little computer dude? The freaking wizard existed. At least it was like, well, it was a guy anyway. And then Minority Report came out, and I thought it was the closest I've ever come to suicide. And I was going to do it with a can of gasoline right in the middle of the Westlake Promenade Mall parking lot. I was going to sit there cross-legged like a Buddhist monk and self-immolate in protest of how stinking rotten Spielberg's movies got. But I didn't do it. Anyway, we're looking forward to War of the Worlds. It'll be really fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be really neat. Thank you so much. All right, we'll be right back. We have Vernon Dozier coming up next hour in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And one other thing, I had to talk about this because they say that the recruiting in the Army is down. And they're saying that, well, that's a real disaster. Like this guy over on one of the local news stations, you know, I don't even know where to begin with some of these people. That's a real disaster, isn't it? The recruiting, Army recruiting is down. Wait a minute. Number one, that's good. Do you know what that means? It means that the people that were getting into the Army so they could learn how to punch, or computers and stand around with their thumb in their ear working, learning a career in the Army, they're not enrolling anymore because it suddenly dawned on them, the light bulb went on over their head, hey, wow, it is called the Army and we may have to actually go into battle. So those lightweights aren't getting into the Army anymore. Thank God. Thank God. The ones that are understand that they have to pick up a gun and shoot Iraqis. That's not bad. That's good. Now, are we not meeting quotas? Whatever the hell, I don't know. If you want my opinion, I think the Army goes way out of its way, man, trying to get cats into the Army. I think what we ought to do is just have one big, huge Marine Corps. Why can't we have that? You know, just one big, huge bunch of guys that kick ass and terrify the crap out of Haji and all of his ragheads. What's wrong with that? Anyway, it's a thought. Vernon Dozier coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.